Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. The Titans lose 27-3 yesterday in Cleveland. Domination from start to finish by the Browns yesterday. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans debacle yesterday. Titans fall to 1-2 on the season. Joe, we've talked a lot about the offense and how bad it was yesterday, and no question about it, it was terrible for the Titans, and that's going to be something that is a problem that they got to fix moving forward. However, on the defensive side of the ball, I didn't think they were a ton better yesterday, Joe. I mean, the Browns put up 27 points. Deshaun Watson, who has struggled basically since he walked into Cleveland and put on a Browns uniform, we went through the numbers last week. It's not been very good for Deshaun Watson. He ends up 27-33 yesterday, 289 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, a quarterback rating of 123.4 for Deshaun Watson yesterday. And I'm watching this secondary, Joe, and Christian Fulton's back out there. He's available in this game. Amani Hooker is back out there and is available. So they're at full strength in their secondary. They got their guys in the secondary. And it's just bad yesterday. I mean, Amari Cooper did whatever he wanted to do. He had seven catches, 116 yards on his touchdown pass that counted yesterday. I don't know what in the world was going on with Fulton and Hooker back there, but they basically just let him run straight past them yesterday. And Joe, we've talked about the secondary, and I have probably been as guilty as anybody else of looking at the numbers and saying, you know what? I mean, the numbers say that they were the worst pass defense in the league last year, but it's not really what it is because nobody wanted to run the ball on the Titans. And it's a flawed stat that way, all those things. And this year so far, I mean, they gave up 300 yards passing to Derek Carr and the Saints. They gave up 300 yards last week to Justin Herbert and the Chargers. But last week they didn't have Christian Fulton and they didn't have Amani Hooker. And it'll be better when they get those guys back. And so, at some point, like, the numbers just are what they are, right? Like, I'm running out of patience. I'm running out of excuses, I guess, to make for this Titans secondary. The numbers tell me that they're just not very good. And I'm watching them play yesterday, and I thought it was a brutal day for the Titans secondary, specifically Christian Fulton. He was awful yesterday.
Yeah. No, look, I'm with you. I've thought the same thing. We've agreed. We've discussed it. And I thought yesterday, so I was driving in to Cleveland yesterday from East Lansing, Michigan. And I heard a lot of Browns pregame radio. And all they were talking about, it was all about Watson, but it was all about, like, this is the day. This is a terrible secondary. They can't cover anyone. They can't tie their shoes back there. This is the day you got to let it rip. If he can't take it to these guys, and there's real issues. And I'm listening. I'm like, you guys don't understand that Christian Fulton's coming back today and Amani Hooker's coming back today. And they actually have some pretty good players back there. That's a total fallacy. And then I watch the game and it's like, well, all I know is Deshaun Watson got right against this secondary. So yesterday also, I mean, I'm sitting there, and maybe this is just because, like, I was so sick of watching the offense, I didn't want to write about it either. I wanted to think about something else. But I wrote about the defense yesterday because the formula for this team, we all knew. It was like, can you get to okay on offense? Can you get to decent, passable, get 22 points a game or something like that, and then have a great dominant defense, have a top five pass rush and a overall lockdown defense. That's the formula. That's what this team is and can be, because Fulton, in a contract year, can he stay healthy? Great safeties. McCreary's a nice player. They add Sean Murphy Bunting. The defense, to me, I think you could make the case as a bigger disappointment than the offense. And I know some people were like, oh my God, what are you talking about? these guys, you know, they have to carry everything. And I get that. But like, again, they were supposed to carry everything. And right now, this defense to me is a big disappointment. And yes, it's absolutely what you're talking about. The secondary is a problem. And I don't know. I don't know, like, if it's, if there have been some changes in coaching. I don't know if that's part of it or it's just that some of these guys are diminishing as players. But you would think communication would be good with these guys when they actually can all play. They've played some football together and some good football. Right now, it's not good football.
No, not good football. Yesterday was really bad. And look, I still believe they have some really good individual talent in the secondary, right? Like, that's the thing that makes it so, I think, frustrating and confounding. Like, I know Amani Hooker's a good player, right? I mean, we watched the game that he had against the Saints. He was probably their best defensive player in that game, maybe outside of Arden Key. Like, I think Roger McCreary has been pretty good for the most part throughout his career. We know what Kevin Byard is. We know what Kevin Byard's been. But I'm watching him yesterday, and it's like, why, when you have these guys that you know are talented players, why is it not coming together? Like, what is happening in the secondary where they can't figure it out? And look, Fulton, I still believe Fulton, when he's right, is a good corner in this league. He's not elite. Like, nobody's going to confuse Christian Fulton for Sauce Gardner out there. But Joe, he was horrible yesterday. I mean, it was really bad. And that was probably the worst game I think I've seen Christian Fulton play in the NFL yesterday. And I don't know if he was completely healthy. I don't know if the hamstring's still bothering him. I don't know what it was yesterday, but he got exposed left and right in that game, both by catches that Amari Cooper was making, you know, some penalties from Christian Fulton yesterday. It was bad from him yesterday.
Well, he also has to make a tackle around the 5-yard line, and instead it's a touchdown run too.
Yeah.
For Ford. So yeah, it was a very bad day for him. And you think back to the opener, I mean, the play of that game, you know, that kept the Titans from getting another chance to come down and win was the huge play he gave up to the rookie, who, by the way, that guy's pretty fast, according to Packers fans, right?
Rashid Shaheed.
He's got some speed.
Nice quick burst to the end zone yesterday. Fun to watch.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I mean, look, it's like, go back to camp. You know, the importance of training camp, it tells us so much. You know, Christian Fulton's looking great out there. Treylon Burks is just, oh my gosh, he is coming into his own. Again, I look at Burks and I'm willing to sit here and say, with all of the skill players on this team offensively, yeah, well, if you're that bad up front, then what are they supposed to do? Their opportunities are going to get limited because you're not having the ball and you're not able to make as many plays. But these defensive guys, they've had plenty of opportunity, and it just hasn't looked good. You know, we talked earlier, Vrabel saying, I can try to create the narrative about the defense kind of having a negative effect on the defense with the offense struggling, right? I mean, I think that happens with teams sometimes. One side carries the other side. Yeah. It can be a burden, and it can cause problems. I mean, that's reality. But also, I think with this defense, there's a little bit of frustration maybe with some of the guys up front at times about some of the guys in the back end giving the big plays. I mean, everything is on those guys up front to dominate games, and they're not dominating games.
So have we overrated these guys individually? Like, how do you explain what we continue to see from this group? Because, look, they're getting – I thought again yesterday the Titans pass rush wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and there were several plays both with the pass rush but also with blitzes yesterday where they got to Watson in the backfield and they just didn't make the play. Like, Amani Hooker had basically a free shot on Watson yesterday on a blitz, and Watson got out of it. So, first off, credit to Watson for making his plays that way, but it's not like the pass rush was perfect. Titans still ended up with 3 sacks yesterday. They hit the quarterback 5 times. It wasn't a Cleveland Browns-esque type performance yesterday from them, but I still think that there's a reasonable amount of pressure that you can expect from this Titans front. So, you would think that would help the secondary, right? And it just hasn't to this point in the year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've still been good, and Arden Key also had one early where it's like, oh man, great job by Watson. That's something Watson has done throughout his career. But I feel like, you know, obviously the Landry sack last week was key, the key play of the game defensively. So that was a late game. But it does feel to me like early in games, they're more effective, and they, and that, that diminishes a little bit. And that could go to the offense not possessing the ball, the defense getting tired, being on the field a lot. I don't know. They've been good. But again, they can't just be good. They have to be better than good. If they're not going to be better than good, then I don't see the path for this team to be a serious threat to anyone this year. So they have to be better than that. And then the secondary has to be better than bad, which I just – yesterday they were bad. Like, how the heck does that Cooper touchdown happen? They also – you had the other TD pass, which was a little double move, and you got Azeez Al-Shaair out, you know, on a back split right. wide. And so great job by the Browns isolating that matchup. Bad job by the Titans being caught with their pants down defensively there, you know. Just that side of the ball, if it's just going to be good, pretty good, whatever, then this is probably a 6-7 win team.
Andrew on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I honestly feel bad for you all having to talk about this puke-filled train wreck of a team for hours straight. I can't believe y'all didn't just use your sick leave today. Got another texter that says, I've watched every snap of Fulton that he played at LSU and the Titans. This is who he's always been. He flashes, he'll have a great game or make a great play every now and then, but for the most part, he's not a high-effort guy, and he gets torched a lot. This from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Puke-filled train wreck? That sounds like an awful train wreck.
It does. Sounds terrible. We'll have more on the Titans defense, the performance of the secondary coming up next. How concerned are you by the secondary? Can it get better as the Titans move forward? We'll get into all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Thursday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6:30 on the road against rival Western Kentucky. Pre-game beginning at 5:30. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe Rex Road live in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Titans lost 27-3 yesterday to the Cleveland Browns. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Lance on the text line says, the Titans need to, quote, crap for Caleb, just talking about Caleb Williams. I got another texter that says, this is Fletcher Valentine on the text line, says, I wanted to see a Super Bowl run with Derrick Henry so bad, I believe he deserves it. However, it's clear that the offensive line and the quarterback position has been neglected, and they will never see a Super Bowl with Derrick Henry. It is truly sad. This from Fletcher on the text line.
Yeah, Super Bowl seems a little far away right now.
It sure does.
It's a little bit of a distant thought for the Titans at this point. Yeah, look, the whole Caleb Williams thing, we've talked about it before. I think, you know, after the first loss, I know some people threw it out there. I mean, I really do need to know if a team has ever gone third round, second round, first round, in three straight drafts at quarterback. I'm going to guess no.
Probably not. It'd be hard to imagine that being the case. And
the
let me
Titans,
just tell you, the yeah, Titans are also as bad as they were yesterday. They are not going to outpace the Chicago Bears for badness.
Exactly.
The Bears will be picking number one overall again.
Yeah, with a different coach. Yeah, like they're not going to. I understand, like, when you see your team play like that, you have visions of worst team in the league. I get it, because they looked like they could be the worst team in the league. But the Broncos just gave up 70. The Bears, you know, like you said, are just atrocious. And the Titans have enough good players and good coaching that they're gonna win some games this year. So it's just not happening. What they probably need to do is, I don't know, draft or sign some offensive linemen. That might be an idea.
Maybe so. Jess on the text line says, I hate to say it, but I don't think we overrated these guys, the defense specifically. It looked yesterday like there was something more fundamentally wrong with the team. I've never asked myself this, but when do we start looking at Vrabel? at least being responsible for these hires at OC or DC. Hopefully next week is better, but yesterday was about as bad as it gets. This is from Jess on the text line.
Hey, after a performance like that, start there. Again, somebody else in the text line is just going nuts today. I can't keep up with it. So I apologize. I'm going to read some and then I'm going to paraphrase what you said because like it's coming in fast and furious today, as you might expect.
Oh yeah.
But, someone asked, something along those lines. Okay. Repeat that question to me that we just talked about.
Just the Vrabel, like the Vrabel, like when do you start looking at Vrabel based on how bad it was yesterday and the losing streak and all that?
Yeah. Yeah. So someone asked, like the offensive game plan. And again, I put on the coaches the last play of the first half because Vrabel had an explanation for it. Maybe we could play that, some Vrabel on that, but regardless, he had an explanation on you're in the red zone. You have to have more people out. Like to me, like you have to make sure that Myles Garrett is blocked. You have to make sure Ryan Tannehill gets the ball out, of course. And he knows that, but he did not have a chance. It was that bad. It was instant. It was insta sack. Okay. Like insta pot. This was insta sack. Myles Garrett, Ryan Tannehill. and if you're the Titans coaches, like you cannot possibly let that happen. So it was a bad day for the coaches. I don't know, like in terms of like game plan, like someone's like, well, how did you think you could block the Browns? Well, I mean, it's football. Like you have to line up five offensive linemen and try to block the other team. Like what game plan creativity can you come up with if none of your guys can block any of their guys?
Yeah.
I mean, like you have to go into a game and think, okay, go block that guy. I mean, if you don't block those guys at all, then like, you can call any play you want to in the history of football, and it's not going to work. So bad day for the coaches. But if you really want to boil yesterday's game down, for me, it is just complete domination up front from one team over the other team, taking away anything that you could possibly try to do offensively, which is, again, very sobering. The Titans may not see anything like that again this year, but that should never happen to an NFL offensive line.
So having said that, like have we seen enough through three games of a 17-game season to conclude that the Titans were too casual or just not good enough in their approach to the offensive line this offseason? They changed a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a brand new offensive line, right? So, I mean, Lawan's out. The personnel is different. But you did get a backup tackle in Andre Dillard, who is now your starting left tackle, a backup guard in Daniel Brunskill, who is now your starting right guard. Right tackle, I don't really hold much against him because they couldn't have seen the Nicholas Petit-Frere suspension coming at that point. But you got Aaron Brewer up the middle. Like, have we seen enough where it is fair to attack the Titans for their approach to how they handle the offensive line this offseason?
Yeah, but I've had this discussion with Jared, and one problem is, yes, they did go kind of low risk, low cost with Dillard at trying to fix left tackle. Look, Dillard is one of those intriguing guys who first-round pick. He has a lot of physical ability. Couldn't start in Philly. Good people in front of him, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, I think Stillman threw out McGlinchey, but it wasn't great out there in the free agent market. But you can also try with a trade. They draft Skoronski. Yeah, my answer to you is yes, but I always like to provide a solution if possible, and I don't have a great answer on what else they should have done. As far as overall investment, like I've seen some on the text line also, like the Titans just wanted to be as cheap as possible up front. Well, I mean, it is a big investment to draft offensive linemen high, which they've done a lot, and they just haven't made good choices. I mean, that's part of the problem. But to your point, Robbie, this offseason was so both ways feeling at different times. Like you're trying to find out what the market might be for a Henry or a Tannehill, like you draft a quarterback, you move up in the second round. There was a lot of like rebuild move looking forward, but then also at some point the decision, okay, let's try to win with this team. Well, then you don't have the offensive line to do it. And it's just the reality right now. So yeah, they should have done something different. I don't have a great answer on what it should have been.
Joe, on the Vrabel front, here's kind of how I view it, because, you know, we've had a lot of questions about Vrabel today. Number one, I think Vrabel's a good coach. I think Vrabel's a really good coach. I think the Titans, if you moved on from Vrabel, I think you'd have a hard time finding a coach that's better than he is. That's just my personal thoughts on the matter. Number two, I still think they're a long way away from that conversation. Like, I don't think there's any serious consideration to that right now. Now, having said those things, Joe, and believing those things, at some point, if the offense continues to be as bad as it's been, do you look, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, or if you're Rand Carthon, or if you're whoever, when do you look and say, all right, well, Mike Vrabel is the common theme here, right? Like, the offense has been bad, and he hired Todd Downing, and Tim Kelly is what he decided to go with. And again, I'm not giving up on Tim Kelly. I thought Tim Kelly did some really good things the first couple of weeks. Yesterday was a disaster. I'm just saying, like, if you get through another season here and the offense is really bad, like, at some point in the NFL, even though I believe Vrabel's a really good coach and I believe he's not in danger of losing his job, you got a bad offense long enough, it eventually ends up back on the head coach. That's just what happens in the NFL.
No, I agree. And that's what's wild with Vrabel, you know, is that it's been the complete both ends of the spectrum while he's been head coach. It's good for him that it's been the other side too. And the crazy thing is, like, the full circle feel of yesterday, as I said earlier in the show, I could not help but think of being in Denver 4 years ago and just watching a team that had no chance. Like, I was watching an FCS college football team play Alabama on the road, you know. Yeah. It had the same kind of feel. And you think about that. So is it full circle in that, oh, here we are back to this, and this is what they are? Or is this setting up another magical, you know, Petit Frere comes back and Skaronski comes back and they figure it out? You know, the funny thing about the Denver game 4 years ago, you know what a lot of people were talking about? It was, we all think of that as the Mariota Tannehill. But what a lot of people were also talking about is, my God, Arthur Smith, nice OC hire, Vrabel.
Yeah.
Great job, bro. And then we know what happened, you know, at the end of the following season with one of the best offenses in the NFL, Arthur Smith becomes a head coach. And he's a pretty good one too. Although you got to be able to beat the Lions, Art. Come on, man. So it's interesting. So where is this going? Is this going to be, we're just back to this and it's going to be bad again? I agree. If it's just really bad this year and it's unwatchable offensively and they're not good, then no, I think everything's fair. And I think that next year would be a hot seat year for Vrabel, like a legitimate. But let's also keep this in mind. Amy Adams Strunk gave Vrabel and Robinson big extensions with big money, and she's paying John Robinson a lot of money to not work for her now. That's also something to keep in mind.
Robert on the text line says, you couldn't see what they could have done, talking about the offensive line. How about not draft two quarterbacks the last 2 years when you have a capable quarterback? Could have used those two picks drafting decent offensive linemen. This is from Robert on the text line. They have drafted a lot of offensive linemen even without those picks, Robert. Some have worked out, some have not so much.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, look, that's a fair thing too. It's like,
it is.
And it's, you know, the thing is there, of course, it's two different GMs.
Right.
So that's another weird thing about this. It's a new era for the new GM, but then Vrabel's kind of always been involved. And yeah, look, more and more blame's going to go on Vrabel for sure. And that's fair if they keep struggling.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans loss to the Browns. Some interesting comments from Jeffrey Simmons yesterday after the loss. We'll get into some of those coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rant at 7:45. Corey Curtis joining the program at 8. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 4 matchup against the Bengals and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. The Titans lose 27-3 in Cleveland yesterday. They fall to 1-2 on the season. Joe, we've talked about the offensive performance of the Titans. It was atrocious. Defensively, not much better for the Titans yesterday. And one of the leaders of the team, Jeffrey Simmons, Had some very interesting comments on the performance of the Titans and where this team is right now as they head into week four next week. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons had to say yesterday postgame.
You guys talked all week about Deshaun and being able to extend plays and stuff, and he was able to do that. How frustrating. You had a game plan, obviously. This is what we want to limit, and then they were still able to do that.
Like I said, we was getting back there a couple of times. He broke out of the sacks and or what it may be, but, I mean, we knew he was a strong guy with the ball. I mean, he was giving, I mean, he gave us a lot of opportunity at the ball. I mean, even with the one he threw back and, you know, running around with the ball loose, you just got to take advantage of bad football, and, you know, we didn't today.
You said that you guys have to play better. Mike Vrabel, he always says, you know, hey, we got a coach better, got to play better. Does that resonate with you, or like you get tired?
It is. I mean, but at the same time, that's getting old. You know, it's time to actually do it. You know, we've been hearing that message every week. I mean, now it's time for us to actually do it. I mean, we, you know, talk about it so much. We got to do this. We got to do that, but. You know, it's a mindset. Like, it's time to win. It's time to stop having the same, you know, thing over and over again. We got to play better, you know, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I'm a winner. I like to win. So it's time to just put it together and start winning.
Just on your side of the ball, Jeff, what needs to get better?
I mean, we gave us a couple big plays just off, you know, we were about to get off the field, but then, like I said, it's a lot of flags that they threw that I don't agree with, but at the end of the day, we got to do our job. But, I mean, I think we were playing pretty good defense. We just got to be able to get the drive stop. You know, like I said, we was doing that pretty good early on, but like I said, when they get down there, we got to be able to stop them in the red zone or whatever it may be. Like I said, we have to be able to communicate a little better on the, you know, up front and on the back end. You know, we all work together. You know, rush helped the cover helped the rush. So we'll be better.
You said you didn't feel like they beat your tail up and down the field. The scoreboard kind
of
looks.
Of course,
like
you're gonna say that. I mean, that's the score. Like I said, I mean, we got how many flags? I mean, we whatever it may be, miscommunication on the back end. I mean, how many times did they just draw the ball? How many rushing yards they had? That's what I'm saying. They didn't just beat our tail up and down the field when I say that. I mean, of course, you can say the score, this and that, but like I said, we'll be better.
Vrabel talked about just having you guys stick together and just, you know, early in the season, all that kind of stuff. How important is that going to be just to flush this and get ready for Cincinnati?
We're gonna be all right. At the end of the day, we have to flush it. I mean, win or lose, like I said, when we lost against the Saints. And now last week, we won the game. You know, we have to, we would have won. We have to enjoy it, flush it. We lost, but at the end of the day, we got another team, good team coming in, another AFC team coming in, and that we're going to have to be ready for. So at the end of the day, man, we just got to come together, stick together. We have to be better from top down.
When in this league, Jeff, do you feel like this defense needs to be great? Like, you should play up to that standard?
You know, when I look at our defense, I feel like we got a great defense. We have to, like I said, take away the flag, take away the, you know, the miscommunication. We could be good, but at the end of the day, I think we just have to play better. If it's getting the ball off offense to try to help our offense out a little better. But like I said, I know we have a good defense, but we have to play a little better.
That was Jeffrey Simmons yesterday after the game against the Browns. Joe, I thought several different interesting things there. You know, he talked about the coaching better, the playing better, that mantra we've talked about how, you know, it's getting old. You just got to go do it. Like, you got to go play better at this point. I thought some interesting stuff from Jeffrey Simmons there. And, you know, this idea that you brought up, which I think is an interesting one of, like, is greatness going to be required from this Titans defense in order for them to win consistently enough and to compete for the division? And if so, like, does the Titans defense have the capability of being a great defense? Not good, but a great defense. I thought some interesting comments there from Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, and look, I wrote about this in The Athletic. I know a lot of people, I think, were, you know, there were questions to Vrabel, Byard, other people about some of the calls. I didn't ask any of them because I don't think it's relevant at all. I understand there were some big moments. I didn't have a huge issue with any of the calls. That's just me. But, you know, Jeff there introduces that without being asked about the penalties, which I was like, oh, man. I mean, I had a problem with that. I just didn't think that was even worth getting into. So Kaharski tweets at one of these, you know, one of these comments he said to RC tweets, a quote tweet of the, he says, quote, "Don't love the vibe from Jeffrey Simmons. Lots of excuses. Run defense wins aren't wins. Hashtag Titans." Well, Jeff Simmons tweeted at him, which has been deleted, but here's the screenshot, which Kaharski was nice enough to send me just now. Simmons said, "Shut up, Paul, please. There's no being excuses. I'm a man. I take full responsibility because I'm a leader and a man. Stop doing all this behind the keyboard. You see me in the locker room every day." Well, I mean, look, so let me defend Kaharski here. I mean, Kaharski was right there asking you these questions and asked you, like, you just said you didn't get your tail beat. It was 27-3. I mean, we're not with you at all times, so we're also going to have takeaways from what was said. Jeffrey Simmons is a great player, and he's a leader and all that stuff. I just think that if you're the Titans and come away from that game and you're worried about the officials, then you have way bigger things to worry about. And, yeah, the offensive side of the ball is a way bigger thing to worry about than the defensive side of the ball, but there is a ton of pressure on these guys, and they have to play a lot better than this. Like, it's not fair when the other team has – you know, 15, 17 more minutes of possession time, and you know your offense has no chance, but that's the reality for this defense.
What position groups do you feel good about on this team right now? I was thinking about that earlier this morning. Like, through three games, what are the groups that you feel good about right now? And I'm not talking okay. I'm not talking, well, you know, could be okay if things break well for them. Like, what do you feel good about with this Titans team right now through three games?
It's a great question because, I mean, look, one position that I still do is running back, even though they had no chance to do anything yesterday. I think those are good. I mean, we know what Derrick Henry is. And Derrick Henry in the first two games, when he had any kind of oxygen, looked good, right?
Yeah.
So I feel good about them. I think I still feel good about the receivers, but to your point, Treylon Burks has got a – you got to catch the ball and get in there and make contested catches and be more of a factor. Again, yesterday, any skill people I basically removed from the equation because they had none of them had a chance. But you're right that Burks did have a few that he has to take advantage of. Chig can't have a drop.
Yeah.
I think I still feel good about receivers. You know, Kyle Phillips is going to come back, and I think that will make a difference too. Like you said earlier, Chris Moore made a heck of a play. And I feel good about Simmons and Autry, and this certainly. I mean, that's still, I think, you know, Tart. I mean, that's still one of the better. Naquan Jones had a nice sack yesterday, one of the better defensive fronts in the league. I think what I'm wondering right now is, are they? I mean, then that'd be about it. I feel good. Well, I feel good about the specialists. They've got that figured out pretty well. But I think that, you know, another thing we haven't talked about is, like, you know, the edge guys, the outside, because, you know, this Landry, you just, you know, I think it's, I mean, it's that first year. I think we're going to talk about it a lot. Like, he doesn't look like Harold Landry.
Yep.
Of pre-injury. Now, no one thought he should, but you would hope it'd be a little bit more impact from him. And, you know, Arden Key has been a heck of a pickup, but I just wonder if that group is, you know, I mean, it has not given them enough, in my opinion, in my estimation, because, again, enough is a high, high bar for all these guys on that side of the ball.
I got a text that says, "Why is the media afraid to ask the hard questions? It's always beating around the bush. Vrabel needs to be asked who is truly accountable for the state of the organization. It's code red bad. It's always excuses." This is from an unnamed texter on the text.
Yes. Hashtag soft media. All the questions that needed to be asked were asked yesterday. I'm confident of that. I was in all those things. I mean, if you want, you know, questions like, "Why are you such a loser? You know, should you be fired right now?" You know, then get yourself a press pass. I don't know. Call into Vrabel's coaching show. You know, I don't know how closely they screen all that stuff. You know, you don't have to ask questions like a jerk to ask the right questions. The right questions were asked.
615-737-1025. I had to get that one in there. I know how much you love those. So
Thank you.
Figured I'd get that one in there on the text line. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We will do that next. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Mm. Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
He's kind of ugly, though. We're the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get all over you.
We're the Tennessee Oilers. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, his rant of the day. The floor is yours. Little Tennessee Oilers theme song in there, too. Nice touch from Keezer. Love that song.
Yeah, it's a jam. So much detail. We're going to keep the Titans discussion going. I do have a particular bone to pick with the soft local media, which yes. Reminds me, Zach asked on the text line, who's softer, Christian Fulton or local media? In all caps. Well done, Zach. I do want to, before I get into this, I do want to acknowledge that at 7:35 a.m., and I'm very disappointed it took this long, we had Indy Ben on the text line. Oh, my goodness. The first place culture. Here's what Indy Ben says. Quote, the Titans simply don't have the horses, especially on offense with the OL and receiving options. I thought it was nuts of local media acting like this team would go 11-6 or 12-5 with how the OL was shaking up to be in the offseason. At this point, Indy looks like the best team in the division. So long as Richardson learns to protect himself and continues to progress each week and JT returns week 5, which looks to be very possible. Richardson was sorely missed yesterday as Minshew struggled with his pocket awareness, end quote. Indy Ben, your excitement is palpable. The best team in the division.
Andy Ben, talk that talk, baby. They're in first place. You do whatever you want.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Todd from Jacksonville, I assume he's going to turtle and disappear. Come on, Todd. Stay with us, buddy. All right. So, look, we talked about the Simmons stuff, and yeah, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But, yeah, I don't think bringing up the pass interference calls, I just don't think it was relevant. I really don't. There were some big plays. I had this argument with other members of the press corps. I disagree. So this is what happens on these plays sometimes. You know, there's handsies, like people say, you can call holding on any play, right? And you can find it in there. And downfield in the NFL, you can find a lot of handsy defensive back play. The Titans do, a lot of teams do it, that typically doesn't get called, so you don't expect it to get called, right? But what happens is, if the quarterback brings the ball to that spot while you're being handsy, then you are now in much more jeopardy of getting called. Now, was one of the calls within 5 yards? There was some discussion of that in the press box. I guess it was close. I didn't think any of the calls were egregiously bad at all. And the Fulton one, which is after. So on this drive is what changed the game. The fourth drive for the Browns. First of all, there's a 3rd and 5, and it's one of those on Sean Murphy Bunny. It's a PI, which again, I like, people were mad about it and the Titans were mad about it. I think it's 50-50. It could go either way. He had his hands on him. I mean, if the ball gets to that area, now the focus is on that area and you might get called. Then you have the weird backward throw, losing 16 yards. Fans are booing Deshaun Watson at this point. Cleveland Brown fans are booing him. Okay.
Yep.
And the very next play, he just heaves it up there, and Fulton gets burned and grabs his shoulder, and oh, there you go. And then, you know, a couple plays later, you got Jerome Ford out alone with Azeez Al-Shaair and just has the easiest touchdown you'll ever see. So that's where the game changed. And I the idea that this turns into any sort of discussion of penalties or officiating is such a cop-out to me.
Well, they got their butts kicked yesterday. I mean, we can talk about officiating if you want. Really, Joe, the only call, or I guess non-call in this instance that I had a problem with yesterday was Amari Cooper not getting called for the push-off on the play where they then immediately called him out of bounds when he was nowhere near out of bounds. Like, that was offensive pass interference. It was offensive pass interference every day of the week, and they didn't call it, and I had a problem with that. And I guess they had a problem with it, too, because they immediately called him out of bounds when he was about as close to running out of bounds as me and you were yesterday in the game. That was still the wildest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen somebody get called out of bounds like that and it to be, like, not close at all to being out of bounds. But that's the only problem I had yesterday.
He was
like
right
the
there.
I was standing right there looking at it. I couldn't believe it. But the non-call on that Cooper play where I thought it was clearly offensive pass interference, That's really the one I had issue with yesterday. Other than that, I'm with you. Like, I thought they were penalties yesterday.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's so look, I understand that there's big moments when those calls happen, and that the game was still, you know, the game was still in the balance. So I understand that. But it's just, to me, there's just zero reason to bring that up. Some people asked about them. That's fine. Those are big moments in a game, but this was a complete butt kicking. Will says Joe deflects the soft media allegations with sarcasm solely. He won't seriously address the allegation. The allegations. Jared accuses Joe of not asking tough questions every single week. Does he? I guess I don't listen to Jared enough. I didn't realize Jared.
I don't think so.
I think Will's got a fact error there. And you know, tell me, Will, what are the allegations? I want to seriously address the allegations. In fact, I'm here for. Hey, send in some questions. Send in some questions. Let's hear how these questions should be phrased. You know, let's go. Let's work on this soft media. Let's yeah. work together. We'll take your submissions and consider them. Okay.
Tell us what you want to be asked. But it's always like the, "Hey, Vrabel, why do you suck?" Right. Yeah. Those would be real productive at the press conference.
Well, someone earlier in the text, I was like, well, why don't you just ask him who's really to blame for the state of this organization? Really? So what, Mike, is your owner the real reason that this is just a disaster right now? Is Amy the reason, the person who pays you? Would you like to rip her publicly? Yeah. I mean, what are you talking about? Guy, it was a terrible game. And this might be a bad season. And if that's the case, then Mike Vrabel, I do think next year, is a coach on the hot seat. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. They're 1-2. But let's also remember that one awful game, and we can all agree it was awful. And there's accountability up and down, you know, the coaches and players. And front office. I mean, everything, you know. But let's also like remember that it is one game. I mean, like last week you have, oh, they figured it out, and look, we doubted them and everything. The first week, total doom and gloom. Now here we are. Look, you should be concerned because this team might be bad, okay? But it's one game.
I got a texter on the text line that says, I fear Vrabel is losing the locker room. I believe he's a good coach in some ways, but his choices of coordinators and position coaches is coming back to haunt him. i.e. the offensive line coach promoting from within and just sticking with the same thing that's obviously not working because he's hard-headed. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. It says, Vrabel losing the locker room.
Yeah, I don't know about losing the locker room. I do think – so Coy in Clarksville says, how did the Titans pick Bowen over Schwartz? He also says Vrabel's a terrible leader. He wants no one to challenge and push him. The offense is atrocious. You know, I will say, you know, you had Schwartz in the organization, and he is a very – very good D coordinator. I mean, they had a good relationship. He got Schwartz's, first of all, at that time, Schwartz, absolutely. He's talked about it this week more than I've seen about his health issues at the time. So yep. He had to get his health figured out. But I mean, look, Schwartz is a heck of a D coordinator. And I'm not saying like the Titans wouldn't be better off with Schwartz as the D coordinator. He's doing well in Cleveland. He also has great players. Santa says fans want local media to ask questions. Fans want answered, and fans have no filter. Right. So give me the questions. Let's talk about the questions. I think the questions are asked. I think the right questions are asked. I did not leave. There are times when I've left press conferences that I wish I asked this, or someone should ask this or that or whatever. Didn't leave it yesterday thinking that at all.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans debacle yesterday in Cleveland. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.